Often vulgar, always explicit, and sometimes funny.
Slap box. Slap box.
Welcome to the Slapbox Podcast. This is episode 714. I'm your host, Josh Albrecht, recording once again inside the Slapbox penthouse. My trusty sidekick, Agent Fox Mulder, the three-legged kitty cat, is in the other room, looking out the window. As I went in there just to check out my acoustic guitar, which I haven't played in a long time. And, of course, whenever I open that door to the guitar room, which I don't go in there that often these days since I've been doing so much painting. But he gets excited and wants to go in there. So he doesn't get in there to get to go in there very much. So I open the blinds to the window so he can peer out. And so, you know, he gets to enjoy that. And yeah. So I guess update after last week. We did take Shelly, and of course his girlfriend Nabina, and I took my mother out for her birthday last week. I believe the podcast was like recording that like right before went and did that. We did go and see the Bob Odenkirk movie, Normal, which I found very entertaining. Which I did see, there were several, Breaking Bad Easter eggs. I'm wondering if that has been, I didn't think to, I'm not seeing it listed, on a quick Google search here, but I know that I did see at least, I'm pretty sure that there was a doctor in there named Dr. Walter White. I am not seeing anybody quite mention it. I'm sure there's somebody on the internet had mentioned it in Normal, had noticed. But I definitely saw that there were Easter eggs. The Dr. Walter White, I think they just call him Dr. White, but there's a death certificate scene where you do see the doctor's name and it says Dr. Walter White. I know I'm not crazy. but it's a very entertaining movie. If you've seen the Bob Odenkirk film Nobody and Nobody 2, I don't think I saw the sequel. I saw the first one. Yet to see the sequel, but it's along the same kind of lines where Bob Odenkirk is an action star. And of course, the premise of this film is that he is an interim sheriff because the sheriff in this normal Minnesota, this small, very small town in Minnesota, population just over 1,000, there is a murder of the sheriff. And you find out right away that the Yakuza is involved in this town. that is being the Japanese mafia is involved in laundering money through normal Minnesota. And Bob Odenkirk is, not involved in the money laundering and ends up having to take on the town that is involved with the Yakuza. But he was just planning on just doing a couple of weeks work there and not really doing much, you know, in the small little town where there's not much crime. And shit goes sideways on him, and but it's entertaining. I do believe Bob Odenkirk co-wrote that film, and definitely worth a go see. We went and saw it at the B&B over there in Wildwood, the B&B theater, that is, And we were the only ones in the theater, which was surprising. But there wasn't really much out in the theater. But you would think that would draw them to that. I found it enjoyable. I don't know why. I mean, it was a 3 o'clock showing. It may have already been out a week. I'm not sure how long it had been out. But it's definitely worth a watch. Definitely worth a watch. Very entertaining. I would have thought Lena Headey would have had more of a part in there. She's in there. She does have a bigger part than Henry Winkler. That is the Fonz who's in there. This part is very short. Lena Headey, I guess she's in there for a decent amount, considering. But I thought her character was going to be a little bit more involved. That, of course, is Cersei from Game of Thrones. Or she played Sarah Connor in the Sarah Connor Chronicles, the TV show from, you know, I guess it's been quite a few years since that show. And she was in the Judge Dredd with Carl Urban, not the Stallone one. but anywho, yeah, that was entertaining. And we did the Korean barbecue, the K-pot, there up on Manchester Road. And, of course, Missouri. I guess that's considered Manchester. I'm not sure. It's off of Manchester Road. I'm not sure, you know, what. I guess I could look it up. Damn it. K-pot. Korean barbecue. Is that Baldwin? That might be Baldwin. Do-do-do. There's several locations around here. Overland, Baldwin, I'm trying to see Overland Plaza. That doesn't tell me anything. I guess there's several locations in the Missouri area. It's not the Overland, Missouri. I know that. yeah, it's a Baldwin. That's considered Baldwin. But yeah, we went to K-Pot in Baldwin, Missouri, on off just off of Manchester Road. And I had never had that kind of experience with a Korean barbecue. I'd never done that. Where, of course, they've got the grill in front of you. They've got a little grill, and there's little burners to where you can make your own ramen. And you cook your own food. And we were just constantly... We did the ramen and the Korean barbecue. And there was just a lot of food. And I haven't eaten anywhere near that kind of amount of meat in a long time. It was really tasty. The seasoning and stuff that they put on a lot of that meat was really good. But holy fuck, I didn't shit right for days afterwards. It took a while. I mean, this is probably TMI. Kind of known for that here. I don't have a Bristol stool chart in front of me, but my shit was not good. The next, like, when I finally did get around to shitting, like, I couldn't hold it in. I mean, I didn't shit my pants, but thankfully I was at home when I finally was able to shit. And, I just couldn't stop shitting once I did shit, and it was just not pleasant. There was a lot of liquid involved. At first it was solid, and then a lot of liquid. And then it was just like, I just kept feeling like I had to shit more. It was not kind to my belly, but, it was definitely an experience. I think if I were to ever do that again, maybe I should stick to the ramen and just really be careful with what I eat. Though, you know, honestly, too, you having to cook your own meat, that's weird. Man, I'd rather just pick something off. Honestly, I'd rather just pick something off the menu. But I get the, you know, the appeal of it. But there was just, and you pay one price, which for dinner, I guess with just the, you pick hot pot or Korean barbecue or hot pot, which the hot pot is where you get the ramen, or both. And I guess there's a $31.99 per adult, and I think that's just with either or, and then both is, I'm not sure how, what that adds to. But it was, yeah, it was, it was a lot of food. We spent some money there doing both, but it was a lot of food. Because you can just keep ordering it for that and just keep the food. I mean, they got seafood. I don't think we did any calamari. I did see calamari on there. I think might have done some lobster. I know we did shrimp, a lot of different beef, pork, chicken, and just a lot of meat. I was putting a lot of meat in my mouth. A lot of meat in my mouth. That is for sure. Man, this again, the spices and seasoning and stuff, that stuff was on point, man. That was some really good stuff. I feel like I probably should have had more rice than I did. I did eat like a full like bowl of rice that they had given me. And I mean, I ate the ramen that was initially in the bowl. I could have gotten more. There's different options with that. I should have had more noodles and stuff than just straight meat, man. I think the just amount of meat I had was the issue. And we did have some like vegetables and stuff thrown in there. There was pumpkin, mushrooms. I don't remember what else. I think there might have been some broccoli at some point. It was like, man, just eating that amount of food. I mean, I ate a lot of food. And it probably wasn't just that I ate so much meat. It's just I ate a lot of food. But, I mean, a lot of it was meat. That just stops my stuff up. It's that's rough. That's really rough. I felt like I was doing, like, a marathon. It was like that kind of work. I was like, oh, okay, there's still more food to go. Fuck. As we just kept grilling more and more food. But yeah, it was a good day, though. It was a good day. And, you know, an update on the kitchen situation. The Overlook Hotel pattern on my walls. If I recall last week, upon doing the show, I had painted the black on the wall, but I had not peeled the tape off. And, of course, Fox had put his paw in the black paint, which was not cool, but I was able to clean it right away before he tracked it everywhere. So I peeled the tape off, and, of course, it bled under, like, every piece of tape, which took me forever to put all that tape up. So this past week, I've spent all the time working on the wall, like with the exception of last night. I did a little bit of painting last night. Still haven't painted any orange. But, yeah, I had to fix up all the lines where the black was. Now, the benefit is, you know, I've got the whole pattern on the wall now. There's a couple of areas where I should fix a couple of, like, the lines are not exactly straight. Like, there's two little areas where the lines go a little crooked where I think I need to really fix the lines. But for the most part, the fixing of the lines that I've had to do, which I've had to pretty much fix every line, is just the bleeding of the black underneath the tape, which happened a lot. And especially in the corners, I had a big amount of black that bled under because I had to really push some pressure on the roller to get it in there. Which it looked really cool when I was just peeling parts of the tape off and left just like all, because I covered black. I probably rushed through painting the black. I could have gone easier. The amount of time I took taping it, I should have taken my time painting the black more than I did. But I had gotten started late on it. Anyway, enough excuses. I just got to deal with how it is now. So I went with an X-Acto blade through the week and scraped off where there were large amounts of black that bled under the tape, and I knew it was going to be a little hard to paint over, so I went through with an X-Acto blade and just scraped paint. very monotonous. Which from a distance, you know, from a distance, it looks really great. The paint on the walls. It's when you get closer, it's you start seeing all the fucking, yeah, shit that's off. And so my plan was, of course, yeah, scrape the large amounts that were going to be a problem to really paint over. And now I'm going through and fixing the line, especially at the inner hexagon, the red hexagon, where there was bleed off on there. I've painted some areas last night, very little, but I painted some white primer over the areas where the black went over that I couldn't really scrape off very well in the red hexagons. And just a small portion of the wall, very small portion. And I started putting primer over the area where there's going to be the orange hexagons. And I'd gotten a pack of foam brushes from Michaels for only like $6 or something like that. It wasn't bad, but it was a large pack of foam brushes. Most of them were larger foam brushes. And I got some more paint brushes too. But I found that I was able to cut smaller portions of the foam and use those individually, just the smaller portions instead of using a bigger, foam brush on it. Because I just was experimenting more of last night of how I'm going to fix all of this shit. Because I don't want to go through and spend an insane amount of time for taping and then find, you know, that I have to fix every fucking line afterwards. That's going to be pointless. But I get such a smooth... The shittiness of that is I get such a smooth look from the roller, you know? I mean, I could even see lines when I was using the foam brush last night to paint the primer on, but I'm thinking I just didn't get enough excess of the paint off of the foam brush. So what I did with the roller is I soaked the roller in paint, you know, and then rolled off the excess in the pan. But then I also had a piece of cardboard where I'd roll it to really get a smooth thing of paint on the roller. I think I just need to have, I'm hoping if I go and put down a piece of cardboard where I can wipe the paint from the foam brush on, I can get a nice and smooth coat on there before putting it on the wall, and maybe I can, you know, make it more of a smoother, I guess, looking paint on the wall there. But again, it's kind of... My plan tonight, which I'm hoping to get a good amount of time in it, I want to fix just one little small sectional wall. And I want to... Where I've already started going over back over it with the primer. I want to get the red inner hexagon. I'm going to fix every hexagon on there. I'm going to fix the black... the red, and then I want to get some orange on that wall. I want to have a little section where it's perfect. That is my goal, and then just slowly go over. What I'm doing with the paint is I've got some small plastic cups I got. Instead of having to open the can of paint every time and like stir it up and shit, and so this way I don't have a can of paint like open the whole time, for a fox to be able to jump up and put his paws in. I'm using these little plastic cups to put the paint in. And when I finished the primer that I was done using, I sealed it up with, cling wrap and then put it in the fridge to keep it cool. Because I don't want to have to keep opening the can of paint and then get the stir stick out and all that nonsense, which I do need to get more of. And maybe get another thing of towels at Lowe's. But, yeah, it's a little monotonous. But having the little cups of paint and then being able to just dip a little foam brush or just regular paintbrush for doing my touch-ups. I think it's going to be great for me, though, to get just like one little section, you know, of wall, like, you know, a couple inches by a couple inches. Like, you know, like, I don't know how big of a section that is, the wall that I'm thinking there. Maybe 12 by 12, if that. But just having, because it has drove me crazy this past week. Looking at the walls, and I can see all the lines that I need to fix, and it's just, it sucks to not have one area where it looks the way it should look. And so yeah, that's my goal, is to try to just finish a very small area. And then I can just look at that area, don't look at the rest. Maybe I should just put something over the rest so I don't have to look at it. But basically, I think the idea is that I'm just going to go through and just fix very small sections of the wall and just slowly work my way over. I had talked last week, I don't think I had ordered more, but I had gotten the 5 inches by 25-inch movie poster of Inglourious Basterds with, and I had also gotten a frame that lights up with it off Etsy. And I intended to put that above the sliding glass door in the dining room. I did order 3 more frames like that, and I may or may not have ordered more Mylars last week before the podcast. I don't recall, because those are made of Mylar, those movie posters. But I had initially gotten, I put bids, because some of the stuff on eBay, of course, you have the buy it now option, or you can do bids. And for some reason, they on the move, even through the same buyer, which mainly is Movie Mylars, I think is the name of the buyer that I got the Inglourious Basterds ones from. But yeah, some of theirs they put up for buy it now, and some of them they put bids on. And I had put bids on a Howard the Duck one and a Terminator one, because I just think the Terminator 1 poster just looks way cooler, especially with the lights, than the Terminator 2 poster. I don't really care for the Terminator 2 poster. Anyway, I thought I was going to have them. Nobody else bid on it until like the last few minutes of both auctions. They both ended around the same time. The same day, it was around the same time, and the Howard the Duck one, I mean, they outbid me by a dollar within like a minute, and I was vacuuming at the time. I got the alert, and I tried to put another bid in to outbid them, but I had like 11 seconds to go when I tried to hit the button to outbid, and it was too late. I was too fucking late by like a second. I was like, son of a bitch. So I lost the Howard the Duck, and of course, there was the Terminator was one poster was the same situation. I got outbid on that, like motherfuckers, within the last minute by like a dollar, like you little bitches. Fucking eBay, man. But yeah, I was hoping that I would see those listed back, because the seller there on eBay that had those posters had sent a piece of paper with the Mylar I got from them, saying that they had a stock of like 45,000 of these types of, you know, like movie posters, that they only have like 4,000 listed. And it did say I could email them about a certain thing, and then they would list it on eBay if they had it. Which I'm thinking they probably have like more Terminator 1 and possibly Howard the Duck. But again, I was pretty annoyed by the fact that I got outbid. There wasn't a buy it now option. And I got outbid in the last minute. I didn't bother emailing. So I went and I had bought the Explorers movie Mylar. That is the... Shit, I'm going to have to remember exactly who. I know Ethan Hawke. I think it's River Phoenix and Ethan Hawke. Let's see. Explorers. Yeah, River Phoenix and Ethan Hawke. Was Corey Feldman in that one? No, Corey Feldman was not in that one. This is, of course, a film where it's a coming-of-age tale, which River Phoenix was in quite a few of those. It's the big ones. I haven't watched Explorers in a long time, but it's a class. I mean, I love that. I mean, it came out when I was a kid. I was really young. And these aliens, of course, implant the design for this space engine to build, basically, you know, their own spacecraft to fly into space. And they take a tilt-a-whirl cart and turn it into a spaceship. And that shit's pretty epic, man. Pretty epic. And they fly into space and meet the aliens. And, of course, the poster I got is of the tilt-a-whirl turned into a spacecraft. And it's a cool poster. So I'm pretty excited about that one. And because I was let down, I needed four. Because I ordered three more of the frames. So I'm going to have four on that wall. I didn't do the measurements to figure out exactly. Maybe I could fit a fifth. I don't know. Probably four is probably going to be the max. I don't think five is probably going to work anyway, because I have to run they have power adapters to them, and I haven't mounted it on the wall yet. I'm thinking maybe I need to wait until I probably have the other frames and make sure that I have everything in the right spot that I need it to. Would probably be the best decision, I would think. I can't mount a power supply yet. I bought a power supply with a 15-foot cord on it, because the cords for the poster frames there with the lights in them are not long enough to, you know, reach down to the floor and plug them in. So I have to mount a power supply above the sliding glass door and the ceiling there above the door. Not on the top ceiling, but just like there's, you know, a ledge, I guess, like below or right above the door. And I was going to mount a power supply there. I ordered one off Amazon, again, with the 15-foot extension. And I've got tracking deals to put over the wires that I had to order special spray paint to paint it with to match my walls, because when getting it, I had kind of doubts anyway how it would look like painting it, but definitely receiving it in the tracking stuff. I forgot what they call it. And yeah, it would not look good if I painted that with a paintbrush. So I ordered some specialty. Yes. Some color match spray paint that I don't know how long that's going to take to get in. But that's the least of my concerns. I don't have the other poster frames in yet, or the other posters. So I'm going to have to route the wires just right. And then I can hide them a little bit. So that'll be nice to be able to hide them into the wall. I think that'll be much better than just have them out on the wall like that. Although, if I ever want to remove it, it's going to be a control. It's stuck to the wall with via adhesive, and that might be a bitch. I might end up, you know, ripping the drywall if I ever have to take that off. Which I don't like the idea of that, but anyway. So yeah, I've got a plan for that. I don't plan on still not planning on painting that Overlook Hotel pattern on that wall up there. Although I was initially thinking I was going to do that there too, but damn, it is taking me so long to paint above the kitchen cabinets that it's just like, oh, it's going to be covered with the movie posters. So I'm thinking it's, although it would look cool with that pattern behind the movie posters. Hopefully I don't get those. I'm hoping once the movie posters are up there, that idea just disappears from my brain. But it's still kind of in the back of my brain. As man, it was February 11th. February 11th, because I went back and looked at the first picture of the walls when I first painted the primer on there. And it was the first picture I took was February 11th. That was when I first started finally working on the walls above the cabinets there. It is now April 25th. And I'm still painting up there. So it's been a minute. So don't particularly want to do that again. Now, I did order, after getting, of course, heartbroken, because I had my heart set on a Howard the Duck movie, Mylar, and, of course, Terminator 1. And I was so excited, especially at, like, the Howard the Duck one. I tried to find online somewhere else would have them, no such luck. And I didn't email, you know, the seller. But there was another seller that had a combo of Terminator 1, Terminator 2, Mylars. But the Terminator 1 was different. It had the font, or the, I don't know, it didn't look the same, and it wasn't as cool looking. And it was, you know, I didn't care for the Terminator 2 one, so I didn't really want to buy that. But with these frames, at least, you know, when I have multiples of stuff, or, you know, multiple options, if I get tired of one, I can just swap them out or whatever. Real easy, because it's held, the frame is connected with magnets, at least the part where you can put in the movie Mylar. So it's super easy to swap in and out different posters, which I think is really cool. But I, yeah, I did not order the Terminator ones, the two of them together. These things are kind of pricey for just, you know, one poster is like 30. I did get the Explorers one, I think, for 20. But like the two Terminators was like $50. And I don't even remember if that was a buy it. That might have been a buy it now. But I did find, and I spent some money on this, but I found, because I just looked up Evil Dead, and I couldn't find any Mylars originally of Evil Dead, but then I think just looking up different movie Mylars, there was a triple pack of Evil Dead 1, Evil Dead 2, and Army of Darkness. And all three of those, I think, are pretty fucking fantastic, I gotta say, for posters. Because, you know, I'd love to have posters of movies that I really enjoy, but even movies that I love, they may not necessarily have the greatest movie poster. But these Evil Dead ones that I love, the movies, but they also have pretty fucking great posters. I mean, you get the first one, of course, where Ash is wielding an axe. And then you have the, I don't think it's Ash's sister. Was it a girlfriend that's getting choked out by a Deadite? Her hand is up in the air. I think that is evil. You know, I'm going to pull up the goddamn picture. Oh, no, that's Etsy. That's not going to help me. Got to pull up my eBay. I feel like I got to stop putting eBay and, like, Etsy and shit off of my phone. I got to stop doing that, because It's anyway. Damn it, show me the here we go. Here's the picture of yeah, it's got the woman coming out of the ground with the being strangled. And Ash wielding an axe on Evil Dead 1. And then Evil Dead 2 is the skeleton's face with the eyes that are actually in it. And Army of Darkness, which is a classic pose with Ash, of course, with the chainsaw hand and his shirt like ripped open. And the female love interest, I don't remember her name, where he goes back in time. She's like laying by his feet. And I really dig the font. The font on all of them are pretty great. I think the original Evil Dead font is probably the best. But, you know, someone that is design t-shirts, I respect a good font. I love a good font. And the Evil Dead, good shit. Anyway, I'm looking forward to putting that in. And also, it is official now. Not only did I buy a 3-pack Evil Dead movie Mylar collection, I have officially made another Etsy purchase, which I'd been talking about on the show. I'd messaged the seller, but I guess he hadn't seen my last couple messages. Because I was talking about it on the show about getting a Ash Williams, that is Ash from the Evil Dead series, one Mr. Bruce Campbell. I found Etsy is just, it's dangerous for me to go on Etsy because people make really fucking awesome things on Etsy. That is, especially if you're a fan of movies, there are so many like movie props. Replicas and shit you can buy off there, or just like this is, you know, this Evan Parra Parra FX on Etsy makes some ultra realistic busts of characters, and I messaged him because I'd seen the Ash up for sale a few times on there because I was just looking up Evil Dead stuff because, you know, trying to find stuff to put in, you know, the downstairs for the home theater. And I finally, after it, because when I got my tax money back, that was like when I decided I was going to put my tax money on. And I was about to buy it. I had noticed it earlier in the day at work that it was on Etsy. And then when I got off work, it was not there. It had been sold out. And so I waited, but I'd seen it listed before and then, you know, appear and disappear like a, because they only list like one, he only lists one at a time. And I had seen it on there a few times and it being sold. So I messaged him about it and asked if he was at some point going to do another Ash Williams one, or well, I think I mentioned said it as Bruce Campbell. But then he had messaged me back saying, of course, like he makes them basically per order. Like, and if you know, you just ask him if you want one. And then he can just, like, indefinitely make them. Because he makes molds when he creates them. And he's not 3D printing this shit. He's doing this shit by hand. He's creating a sculpture, making a mold. And then, you know, he hand paints all the shit. And so, I mean, once he makes the initial sculpture and he makes a mold, you know, he can reuse the mold and whatnot. Anyway. He says it takes roughly like 4 to 6 weeks to make. I had messaged him that, hey, that like, that's awesome, you know? And I didn't think if I made it clear on the first message that I was going to buy it. I don't remember exactly what I said. So I was like, but I didn't hear anything back on that one. And so then I messaged him again, like saying, like, yeah, hey, like I will buy that Ash Williams whenever you relist it. And then he finally did get back to me, and so he relisted it. I did buy it. And he said, unfortunately, his messages from Etsy haven't been showing up. He hasn't been seeing them right away. So he apologized, I guess, for not getting back to me sooner. But anyway, yeah. So he did say that he will be sending me pictures of updates throughout the process. So that'll be. I am not expecting to get this probably about 2 months. And seeing you can follow him on Instagram. He might have some other socials out there. I'm not real sure, but I know he's on Instagram. I've looked him up on Instagram, and he does show like the creation process, I believe, on there. And man, I just, you know, I've always been a fan of stuff like that. As I spoke before when I was talking about buying the stuff, just I just love shit people make like like that, you know. It's just and when I first get it, it's gonna be probably put it on my table for a while until I want 100% done fucking around with like painting and all that shit in the downstairs. Which I'm thinking, though, by the time I get this bust, I'm hopefully done. Hopefully I am done painting in there. Unless I, you know, the only other downstairs area I may paint is, like, the bathroom. But that's, like, not near there. So I probably won't have shit. I'm probably not painting the bathroom. At least probably not black and red. Whereas that will make it awfully dark in the bathroom. And I don't know that I want it dark in the bathroom, so people go in there and then, you know, have a hard time cleaning up after themselves. Could be bad. Although I have more paint that is the same color that's already in the bathroom, so I may just, you know, repaint it that just to make the walls look a little bit better, a little nicer. Anyway, so my downstairs, man, it's gonna look pretty groovy. As yeah, I'm running out of funds to really do a whole lot of crazy shit, so I don't expect myself to go out and do any more big purchases for some time. Evan Para did say he was working on four other new busts, though, which I'm gonna say piqued my interest. They're expensive, though. They're expensive, and it's going to be a long time before I could ever afford another one. I mean, he's got a really cool, like, Peter Cushing one. There is a Sloth from Goonies, which creeps me out, actually. It's like, that creeps me way more out than Evan. I love the Goonies. That was a movie Miley I almost got. But that would creep me out, having Sloth. Like, it is a creepy bust. It looks very accurate. But he had, like, a really good Clint Eastwood one that he's made. I'm curious to know what these other busts are. And I guess you can request a new one, which, man, if I was going to go with another bust, I was thinking about it. And I doubt I'll ever do this or ask for this, but if I was going to request one, I think I'd go Nancy. Maybe I talked about it in this previous podcast, because I know I talked about a lot about this bust already before, like, making the actual purchase here. I'd go Nancy Thompson. That is Heather Langenkamp's character from Nightmare on Elm Street 1. Of course, she reprised her role in part 3, and then she played herself in the new Nightmare, where it was supposed to be in the real world. It was a bit of a meta world. Yeah, that makes it sound like Facebook. She played Heather Langenkamp, the actress that played Nancy in A New Nightmare. Anyway, the bust I would do or have made, it's not like I'm making it, would be Nancy from the original Nightmare on Elm Street, where Freddy's on the phone with her. It'd be great to have a Nancy bust, have that streak of white hair, and then, because I love the original Nightmare on Elm Street. I mean, it'd be great to have a Freddy bust, too. But there's so when I think a Nightmare on Elm Street, I mean, there's a couple iconic shots to me. And, like, the probably one of the most iconic shot, I think, in that film is, of course, Nancy in the bathtub and Freddy's glove coming out of the water. That one's pretty iconic. Of course, the blood flowing out of the bed, out of Johnny Depp's waterbed after he's been murdered. And then his character, Glenn. And of course, Nancy, when she's on the phone with Freddy, that would be the one I would want the bust of, with the Freddy phone, where he's got his tongue sticking out. Where, "I'm your boyfriend now, Nancy." That one. That was so fucking... I just love that scene for whatever reason. It's just, it's a cheesy, like, prop. Which you can... I think there's a prop of that. On Etsy, you can get a prop of the Freddy phone, which is tempting. What if I can fucking do that? I did think about there is a really nicely made prop. I will probably get this eventually. Again, I don't want to spend the money on it right now. I need to, they're cutting some hours back at work and stuff. It's, you know, it's not a good time for me to spend more money. But hey, I've got a 4-day weekend coming up next week. So but we're probably back on overtime before too long. Anyway, they do have a Ash Williams, of course, Ash from the Evil Dead, chainsaw arm that you can put your hand in that looks very good on Etsy. You can get it for like $300-something on sale, I'd seen, but there's different options. You can get it painted with the blood, which I want the blood on there. I want the fucking blood. I want it to look like it's killed some deadites. And you can get it with a sound box in it now, too, so it makes the chainsaw sounds. So you can wear it. So if I, you know, decide to go all Ash cosplay at some point, I can do so. But it's over 400 if you want all the, like, the blood on it and, like, the sound box and stuff. But, I mean, it is a very well-done prop. And you get the... I guess not every option has the pull string on it. And, yeah, I mean, I'd go all out if I was getting it. And it would probably be, you know, it'd have to sit next down. It'd have to go downstairs and sit next to my Ash Williams bust. I mean, so good. And unfortunately, it's not a working chainsaw. I know I've seen some videos of people on the internet in the past that made it out of a real fucking chainsaw and were putting their hands inside. I can't imagine that's safe, putting your hands inside a chainsaw with a motor inside it that's, you know, rotating. That just seems really unsafe. But I know I've seen at least one video years ago where somebody had done that with a real chainsaw. And they were spinning it around and stuff. And like, the inner child in me and the crazy, I mean, I am nuts in general, but kind of like, you know, that would be so fucking fun. Yet so dangerous. I don't want to lose my hand. Although if I lost my hand, then I could just make the chainsaw hand my permanent hand. Might be kind of awkward if I ever go on a flight again. Can I check this? I'm going to need this when I get back later. Just in case the deadites come. Oh, hold on. We are about to get some audio from the automatic feeder as Mr. Fox is surprisingly not ready for it. He's licking himself. He is in here right now. Agent Fox Mulder is. Foxinator. No, he didn't respond. He's cleaning himself at the moment. Well, we will get, within seconds, a ting, 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 ting of the auto feeder. going off as I'm trying to get quiet for it. I'm not sure how many seconds we have left. It should be any second. he is about to go running into to the downstairs to where the auto feeder is. Usually he's... Nope. I love hearing him just run down the stairs. I don't know if the mic picked that up a whole lot. It looks like it probably didn't pick up much of that up, but I probably should have just like cranked the gain on the mic as I got real quiet there, because it doesn't look like it really picked a whole lot of that up, but just the audio of him running downstairs. Anyway, yeah, I will probably eventually get a chainsaw arm. I had also looked in the past about making my own chainsaw arm with the, just out of like foam. Not, again, not using a real chainsaw, though that would be fucking awesome. The child in me is like, you should do it. But, yeah, I don't have any plans on doing that at the moment. Eventually, I'll probably make some silly decision. And, yeah, I'm not doing a real chainsaw. That's dangerous, man. I enjoy my hands. I need them to work, to play video games, play guitar, and it's just not worth me not being able to do that shit. You know, if I still had one, I could still jerk off. I'd find a way to jerk off. J.D. Vance said, I'd fuck a couch if I had to. If I didn't have hands at all, I'd find a way. Life finds a way. Man, it'd be harder to clean up, though, you know? Didn't have a... Anyway. I did also make another purchase that I've been, you know, I am a man in my mid-40s at this point. I'm 45. I'm halfway through my 40s. And I've had a lot, I've lost a lot of my hair. I believe I've talked through the years, probably since I started, because I've been losing hair the entire time doing the podcast. Now, I have shaved my head completely, bicked it. More than once. And you know what? I don't think I look half bad with a bald head. I think it works out. But that's just too much work to go through, and I like getting haircuts. But the internet knows this about me. It knows my age and knows, maybe just by looking at the pictures I post of myself, that, hey, this fella's losing his hair. And I've been getting targeted with hair loss ads for years, years upon years now. And the Hims has just been like all over like fucking YouTube and Instagram and stuff. And finally, I was just like, this son of a bitch. They were on sale for like a 5-month supply. So I'm like, fuck. I'm like, because I'm at the point where my hair, I've lost enough hair on top to where it just feels kind of silly to go get haircuts. And I find it really relaxing to go get a haircut, you know? And it's just not the same getting my hair cut now with the missing so much on top. And, like, I bit the bullet. I got some Hims with the finasteride, the chews. I got the chews. I haven't noticed, I'm not even a full week in yet, so I can't really say that, I know exactly, you know, how this is going to play out. In the 5 months, if I don't notice any real growth in hair, I will not, on the top of my head, I will not be purchasing anymore, that's for sure. This shit's not cheap. I have noticed I don't remember what day I got it. Maybe Monday. I don't know. I've been chewing on them for several days now. Monday or Tuesday was the first day I had it. It's now Saturday when we're recording this. So I've had several days of the finasteride in my system. I have, it does appear that my facial hair has been growing like wildfire. Or maybe it's just the fact that I did get my hair cut last week. Because I normally only shave once a week. And I shaved on like Thursday last week. And I think maybe just an early day. But it did seem like I was getting some pretty big growth of my facial hair. I finally shaved earlier. And it seemed like it was really growing a lot. I think maybe I've gotten extra hair growth out of the other hair on my head that's not on top. But I haven't noticed any spots yet. Of new hair growth on top, but you know, I'll give it at least a couple. You know, I got a 5 month supply. We'll might as well just use those 5 months. We'll see what happens. I will report back on it. I was just like, all right, fuck it. I either got to do this or just say fuck it and buy the razor, a specific razor for shaving my head because it. I know there are specific razors that are better for shaving your head with, and if I'm going to go through with shaving that all the time, then I'm going to want something that that makes it easier because it's a bitch shaving your head bald, like completely bald. At least my head, it is not perfectly round. There are some divots in there. It is like on top where the skull. I don't know. My skull is a little weird on top, man. It dips in a couple spots where it's like kind of hard to get a razor in there. So I probably have to experiment with a few different razors to do that all the time, and then probably have to do it, you know, every day almost to really get at it. It's that seems like a lot of time to. To do that, whereas, you know, if I can just take a daily chew, it takes a couple seconds to chew, and then, you know, get some lustrous hair. I don't know that I really have a whole lot of faith in it working. I don't have much faith in it working, but you know, we'll see what happens. We'll see what happens in like 5 months. Anyway, yeah, again, I'll report back on that. We'll see what comes of it, if anything. I would say, yeah, I don't know what to say. It's just, Yeah, there's really not much more to say to that. It is the chews themselves, they're really bitter. Bitter. It's sour. It's really sour. Which they're not horrible, but it'll make you pucker up a little bit. But the taste goes away quickly. You just drink a little water. After chewing it, you're good to go. I was thinking, what else I got going on? I guess not a whole lot. I am going to go back to, once I get this done, I guess make a trip over to Lowe's. And, well, maybe I'll take a nap afterwards. just quick nap. I've been having little caffeine headaches yesterday and today. I think it's caffeine headache. I don't know. So I'm back to a situation where I really need to lay off the caffeine again. It's been a bit much. I overdid it yesterday with the caffeine. I tried to get jacked because I wanted to do a lot of painting. Yeah, I didn't get through a lot of painting. I want to get some painting done today. I will. And just hopefully I get that orange on the wall, you know. There is, of course, a couple of things I need to get related to painting over at Lowe's. Well, I don't really feel like going to Lowe's. but, Yeah. We'll get up there with the foam brushes and try to make it look decent, you know? I think it's going to be a big plus for me to have just even a small section of wall to where it looks just how I want it. And that will be a good way to get me more motivated, I think. Because as of right now, looking at all the lines and just seeing all the flaws in it, it's discouraging. And I'm fairly confident I can make it look good in the end by, you know, fixing it. But it's just going to take some time. But there is doubt, you know, in my head. There's that doubt, and it's like, oh, I don't know if I'm going to be able to make this look the way I want it to look in the end. And so I think just having one little section done is going to do a lot for my motivation there, and will help me get me through to, you know, I figure I'm at like close to mile 20 in a marathon. You know, you got 26.2 miles. And that's generally when about people hit the wall. There's about mile 20, 19, 20. That's it's like when shit gets real rough. Those first 20 miles or so, not that they're easy. Depends on how well you trained going into it, I guess. And like, if you're keeping to your, you know, training, if you're you're running smart, which I've always been terrible on race day. But those last 6 miles, you know, it just gets harder. It gets harder as you get closer to the finish. And I feel like that's what's going on with this fucking wall. It is getting more difficult. I don't know. It's hard to say if it's more difficult or not, because drawing that shit on the wall was a huge pain in the ass with the stencil, and then to have to redraw shit with the going in with rulers and redraw it. And then taping it to do the red wasn't too bad to tape the red. Taping it to do the black was fucking horrendous. And I had to use the X-Acto blade to cut it all the right size. That was pretty fucking terrible. and now I'm at a point where I'm using paintbrushes, like small paintbrushes, and then foam brushes that I'm cutting apart and just using some foam to paint with. It's getting really tedious. But you really, that's really all I've got. So hopefully I can get back at it and do some shit. So I guess, as always, that is a kid in a wheelchair, not a trash can.